Hello and welcome to Our Sight as we return now to our series Back to the Bible. And so if you have a Bible handy or if you have a Bible on your device, please would you turn to the Song of Songs. In the middle of your Bible, the Song of Songs, a love song that King Solomon wrote when he was madly in love. It's a beautiful Middle Eastern love song. It's a kind of honeymoon night love song. It's not erotic, but it's full of passion, and it has a wonderful message for us this morning. So let's get into the spirit of this beautiful song. As we look at the Song of Songs, and as I read to you, you can picture the scene like a honeymoon night, and the bride is there, and the groom is there, and the bride's friends are there, and they interject from time to time in the early chapters. So Song of Songs, Solomon's Song of Songs, that means the greatest love song that he ever wrote. And reading from verse 2, chapter 1, she says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the maidens love you. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chambers." And they say, "We rejoice and delight in you. We will praise your love more than wine." And she says, "How right they are to adore you. Dark am I, yet lovely. O daughters of Jerusalem, dark like the tents of Kedar, like the tent curtains of Solomon. Do not stare at me because I am dark, because I am darkened by the sun. My mother's sons were angry with me and made me take care of the vineyards. My own vineyard I have neglected. Tell me, you whom I love, where do you gaze your flock? And where do you rest your sheep at midday? Why should I be like a veiled woman beside the flocks of your friends?" And they say, "If you do not know, most beautiful of women, follow the tracks of the sheep, and graze your young goats, by the tents of the shepherds." The lover says, "I liken you, my darling, to a mare, harnessed to one of the chariots of Pharaoh. Your cheeks are beautiful with earrings, your neck with strings of jewels. We will make you earrings of gold, studded with silver." She says, "While the king was at his table, my perfume spread its fragrance. My lover is to me a sachet of myrrh, resting between my breasts. My lover is to me a cluster of henna blossoms from the vineyards of En-Gedi." He says, "How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes are as doves." And she says, "How handsome you are, my lover. Oh, how charming. And our bed is verdant." He says, "The beams of our house are cedars, our rafters are firs." She says, "I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys." He says, "Like a lily among thorns is my darling among the maidens." She says, "Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my lover among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. He has taken me to the banqueting hall, and his banner over me is love." As we turn a little later into this Song of Songs, we read in chapter 8 and verse 6, "Place your seal, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm," she says. "For love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot wash it away." Well, just so far, and I hope that was enough to get you into the spirit of Solomon's Song of Songs. Of all the 1,005 songs that Solomon, the King of Israel, wrote, this one was the greatest, the one above all others, the best in every way. So it's given the title in our Bibles, Song of Songs, like King of Kings and Lord of Lords, meaning supreme above all others. Well, as we've seen in our last few sermons in this series, Solomon was a very wise man because God gave him a wise and discerning mind. Yet, as we've also seen, he didn't take his own advice and became extremely foolish, marrying several hundred women. His wedding ring certainly didn't cut off his circulation. If only he had waited for God's timing and God's choice, he would have avoided the heartache of being led astray. I believe he would have been led to this woman of whom he sings, and they would have lived happily ever after. This beautiful lady of whom Solomon sings lived on a wine farm in the mountains. Her father had died while she was still a child, and when she grew up, she was forced to take care of her brother's vineyards as well as her own. The long hours in the sun gave her a tan that would have been the envy of anyone on the Mediterranean beaches. But she had worked so hard that her own vineyard had often been neglected. I think the story goes something like this. King Solomon had a holiday home on the adjoining estate, where he used to retire when he needed rest from being king. On one of his visits to the mountain lodge, he met the beautiful virgin from the farm next door. They fell in love with each other, utterly and completely, and as Solomon promised to return and take her to be his queen, she waited in anxiety and longing. In the waiting period, she seemed to have a few nightmarish dreams, but return he did. The marriage was magnificent, as royal marriages are, and the king took her into the banqueting house, and his banner over her was love, love in all its beauty and fullness. The love they shared was rich and beautiful, and as love so often does, it put a song in their hearts. Indeed, it inspired Solomon to write his choicest song, and even though it doesn't mention God, nor is it ever quoted by our Lord or any of the New Testament writers, this song earned a place in the middle of the Bible. Now, it's not an allegory, an imaginary story that Solomon made up, where each detail has some spiritual meaning hidden away. It is the true story of Solomon's love for his bride. It's real and earthy. It tells it like it is, as you would have heard from our reading. It's hard to read it without blushing, or wishing you were married if you aren't. It's not erotic, but it is sensual and emotional. It is the story of pure passion. All the senses we have been blessed with are mentioned in this song, and numerous parts of the body, like Eden's innocence before the fall. There is no shame here, just the full enjoyment of love that should be shared by every husband and wife. Rich, lavish, wholly satisfying, the kind of love relationship that God intended for every marriage. Surely one of the reasons why it is the greatest of Solomon's 1,005 songs is that it is a foretaste, or perhaps a taste, of what our first parents experienced in the Garden of God. A foretaste, if you like, of Eden restored. God creates an experience in marriage that is like no other on earth. So what is this book doing in the middle of the Bible, if it's not an allegory, and if, like Esther, it's the only book in the whole canon of Scripture that doesn't even mention the name of God? Is it just a sublime song of human affection? Well, it certainly is a sublime story, is it not? A story painted in the array of peculiarly Middle Eastern colors, a strong, tinted, gorgeous story, gorgeous colors of oranges and reds and purples. You catch the scented atmosphere of superlative utterances and flaming color in this lovely song. It's a wonderful book to read on honeymoon. But what does it all mean to us today, the Song of Songs? If it's not an allegory, what is it? Well, it is an analogy that teaches us that marriage, the love relationship between a man and a woman, is a human expression of divine love, the love that God, who is love, shares with human beings. In other words, it's not only a song about the real and rich love that Solomon and his bride enjoyed. It's not only God's affirmation of the love between a husband and a wife, consummating in a covenantal relationship with unparalleled joy. It is telling us that God designed from the beginning that we should have a love relationship with Him that brings life in all its fullness, where we can say, as these two said to each other, "My lover is mine, and I am his. My beloved is mine, and I am his." This is the theme of Solomon's greatest song. The Song of Solomon is a song about the supremacy of love. It not only illuminates the original divine purpose of love between a man and a woman as the basis of true marriage. In it we hear the rhythm and notes of heaven, a love that will not let us go, the love of a creator who is love personified, who loved us so that he came to us in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to rescue us, to redeem us, to restore us into the divine original. This song shows us that love in its purest and divinest form should be in fact the foundation of all of life, not just marriage. For love is as strong as death, as the lovers say. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot wash it away. In every sentence that falls from his lips, King Solomon reveals the intensity of his devotion, and the bride's response is gentle, but just as strong. The king is overshadowing and protective of his beautiful bride, and the Shulamite woman rests in his shadow with delight and with such a sense of peace and joy and security. It's a beautiful song. But surely the ultimate intent of what the Holy Spirit of God, who inspired this song, was to lift us all into the realization that John the Apostle of Love so poignantly expresses in his first letter. If you have a Bible with you and you'd like to turn to me of the first letter of John with me to the first letter of John, towards the end of your Bible, just before the Revelation at the end of the Bible, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Do you have it there in your Bible? John says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." The Apostle Paul picks up that theme, as you well know, I'm sure, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where he says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Aren't we so privileged to be living today where we have a complete canon of Holy Scripture and the books of the New Testament to give expression to the divine love that is at least pictured in the Song of Songs in the Old Testament, in the love that King Solomon has for his bride. Writing to the church at Ephesus, the Apostle Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might set her apart as holy, a bride prepared for her groom." A Jewish commentary on the Song of Songs refers to Solomon as the prophet king of Israel, which does suggest that the Song of Songs was seen to have a prophetic element. And that is really interesting because, as we've learned from the Psalms, many of them were songs of worship before Yahweh, the Lord. And certainly the Hebrew prophets saw the relationship between God and his people as that of a husband and wife. The whole prophecy of Hosea, as we saw a while back when we looked at the minor prophets, was based on this conception that Israel is pictured dramatically as an adulterous wife. The prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel also use the same analogy of marriage to picture the relationship that God has with his chosen people, the love of his life, the apple of his eye. When Solomon was singing prophetically, we can't really be sure whether he was or not, but think of this. Of this we can be sure. Jesus, the lover of our souls, is our heavenly groom, who is returning for his bride, the church, soon. And by the time we get to the book of Revelation in the Bible, the church, the company of all those redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus, the company of all those who have been born again into the family of God through placing their trust in Jesus, when we get to the Revelation at the end of the Bible, the church, the company of the redeemed, are called the Lamb's wife in heaven. And Paul, as we've seen, underscores that analogy of marriage in his letter to the Ephesians. Marriage ought to be a wonderful picture of Christ's wonderful pure love for his church. So applying the Song of Songs to the Christian church today, we're challenged as never before to examine our relationship with the Lord, who is head of the church, our shepherd king. We are the sheep of his pasture, the subject of his kingdom. But far more than that, at the center and core of everything, we are his bride. We who are the people of God, redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus, his Son. We are the pearl of great price. We are the object of God's desiring. We are the reason for our Lord Jesus becoming man, dying on the cross, rising again. We are the reason for his soon and sudden return. We are his beloved. We are the apple of his eye. He loves us with an everlasting love. And church is more than attending worship service on a Sunday morning. It's more than just reading a Bible and offering a prayer. Being the bride of Christ, being the people of God, means loving the Lord our God, loving the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourself, and loving one another in the body of Christ the church, just as Christ has loved us. This is how we know what love is, says the Apostle John. Jesus laid down his life for us on the cross, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters in Christ. He who loves knows God, says the Apostle John, and God knows him, knows her. Everyone who loves God in this way has been born of God and knows God, because God is love, 1 John 4 and verse 8. And perfect love, he says, drives out all fear, verse 18. Charles Wesley arrived at the right response to the Song of Songs when he wrote that beautiful hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, Let Me to Thy Bosom Fly. Thou art all I want, O Christ, more than all in Thee I find. The bride should find the nature of the groom's love irresistible. He brought us into his banqueting house, and his banner over us is love. How we thank God for the love that has been revealed in the gift of his Son Jesus, that God so loved the world, so loved you and me, that he gave his one and only Son, so that believing on him we might not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, life in all its fullness. The message of the Song of Songs in the Old Testament, the greatest song ever sung, is loud and clear, dear friend. God is love, and all true love has its source in him. The hymn writer says, loved with everlasting love, led by grace, that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. O, this full and perfect peace, O, this transport all divine, in a love which cannot cease, I am his, and he is mine. Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green, something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs o'erflow, flowers with deeper beauty shine, since I know as now I know, I am his, and he is mine. Things that once were wild alarms cannot now disturb my rest. Closed in everlasting arms, pillowed on the loving breast, oh, to lie forever here, doubt and care and self resign, while he whispers in my ear, I am his, and he is mine. His forever, only his, who the Lord and me shall part. Ah, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. Heaven and earth may fade and flee, firstborn light in gloom decline, but while God and I shall be, I am his, and he is mine. This is the message of the Song of Songs in the Old Testament. And this morning Jesus is not asking, how many times have you been to church, or have you read your Bible today, or have you given out a tract to somebody on the street? Jesus is asking the same question he asked Simon Peter 2,000 years ago. Do you love me? Do you really love me? Do you love me as the new bride loves her new groom? My beloved is mine, and I am his. What a wonderful description of the love relationship that the Christian has with the Lord Jesus. It's such a personal experience. I am my beloved's and he is mine. Out of the 8 words that make up that statement in the Song of Songs, 4 are personal pronouns. I am my beloved's and he is mine. Marriage is an intensely personal experience. You belong to each other for life. I am my lover's and he is mine. I've been celebrating that for over 60 years. There's nothing impersonal or cold or calculated about the love relationship that is shared in a marriage. Solomon expresses that in the Song of Songs. Loving the Lord and experiencing the love of the Lord likewise is a very personal experience. It's also a present experience. I am my beloved's and he is mine. Why, after 60 years of marriage, I am my beloved's and she is mine. It's a very present experience. Yesterday it was still, and it's still a future experience. And from this day on, it's going to be a present experience, moment by moment. And in just the same way, it pictures the love relationship that we have with the Lord and that he has with us as his people. The songwriter put it this way, moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment I've life from above, looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, dear Lord, I am thine. True love makes time stand still. Have you experienced that? It kind of stops the clock. Only love gives us a foretaste of eternity. This is Beulah Land in Bible terminology. It's also a permanent experience. It's not fleeting. It's forever. It's not a legal contract. It's a divine human covenant. It's till death us do part. And even when death comes, it's just a brand new beginning for the believer in Jesus. And then finally, it's a precious experience, is it not? Because love is the most precious of all God's gifts to us. Marriage is a love relationship. I am my lover's, and my lover is mine. Marriage sanctifies and celebrates the most excellent way. We are those whom God has joined together. Where two or three are joined together, Jesus is in the midst. And if two of us agree together, he gives us what we ask of him. The Apostle Peter says, of husbands and wives, you are heirs together of the grace of life. And so as we have had a fleeting look at the Song of Songs in the middle of the Bible, let's not forget this overriding truth that comes out of this love song in the middle of the Bible. God loves you with an everlasting love, and he wants to enjoy that love relationship with you forever. And the only way to enjoy that love relationship is to be fully surrendered to Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord, the lover of your soul. May it be so. Let's bow together in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for this song, this love song, in the middle of the Bible. So earthy, so sensual, so real, so full of passion. And yet you have put it in the middle of your word so that we can learn that you love your people. That you love your people as a groom loves her bride. And that we, as the bride, the Church of Jesus, should love our heavenly groom with a passion. And so now, help us, dear Lord, to keep on growing in this love relationship with you. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit is able to enable us to enjoy this love that is characterized by joy and peace, patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Change us more and more, dear Holy Spirit, into the image and likeness of Jesus. And grant, Lord, that our love for you and our love for one another may override everything else in our life and bring you glory and honor. So now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father, the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.